welcome to the South African National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. We also have Dr. Maria Mabetwa from the Department of Social Development here with us this morning. And everyone else that I have welcome. Sorry for starting a bit late this morning. It's been quite hectic. Honourable members, we need to finish by 12:30 now. I know that you are, from past experience, you are very enthusiastic when it comes to interrogation of matters. But can we finish by 12:30? Is there any, if you look at the agenda today, is there anything that you would like to add? It's just a briefing, one item on the agenda. Fine. Oversight that to... Anything else? Honourable Nelson, Member Nelson.
Chairperson, I think it indicated that we will speak about the program for the second term. Is it on then?
On the agenda. Anything else? That will then conclude the agenda. We apologies, Secretary.
Secretary, the apologies from the Honourable Deputy Minister, Ms. Bathabile Dlamini, Honourable Xaba, and Honourable Kane. Thank you.
We have Sanka. We've invited Sanka. I think it was something that we've discussed in 2009. For Sanka to do a presentation to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Social Development. And the presenters this morning is Mrs. Shaheem Garda and Mrs. Carol Matwe. I'm going to ask her to do the presentation for us. And then after the presentation, we can ask them some questions. And then we can then decide in terms of what will our interaction be with them, in terms of a presentation. We can then have a discussion as a committee. We've seen the issues of drug abuse and even drug-related crimes in the media and the abuse of women and children. Is a concern for the committee. And that's why we are very interested to know about the work that Sanka is doing and also the challenges that you are facing. And then that's why you also have Dr. Mabetwa here today and a colleague, Ms. Numalo, from the Department of Social Development, so that we can also hear from the side of government. How can we work together to tackle the scourge of substance abuse in this country? So over to you, Mrs. Garda and Mrs. Toy.
It's very important for us to be with you and to...
You are not Mrs.
No, not.
Can you please introduce yourself to the committee?
I'm the current chairperson of Sanka National Thank you. We are honored to be here today, and it's important for us to present to you because we think that we do have a role to play, and that we also need the support of government and all the other role players. So the team that's going to do the presentation is Mrs. Shamim Gada, our national director, and Mrs. Carol Vitoy. She's an expert on the treatment side of SANCA. And then Dr. Sipu Mate, he's an expert in community development. And that's the people that we brought together. Thank you that we can be here, and we look forward to the discussion as well. Shamim?
Madam Chair, thank you very much. We really feel honored to be here because we are partners for social development. I mean, you guys are our funders, our subsidizers, and we feel a lot of you do know what we do, but I think this invitation is really welcome from our side. And especially what I like is that you're saying how you can assist us, and I think that's so wonderful because as partners we need to work symbiotically, and let's hope we can strengthen this cause of substance abuse. As you know, we from SANCA, and one of my colleagues said to me that SANCA, the name, is a lot of time people think we're Cancer Association or CARE, but I think you all by now know that we are alcohol and drug dependents. All right? Thanks. Just in terms of how we're situated in the country, if you look in your blue booklets, page 33 will give you the national structure in terms of our national office where I come from and all the provincial coordinators, the local clinics as well. So that we didn't put it up, but you can have a look at it there. The blue booklet gives you a two-year overview of the work done by all the provinces and our achievements to date. So at your leisure, you can read that. And what we've done is almost just summarize the very, very important and salient points for you. In terms of our footprint, as you see up on the screen there, we have 31 outpatient facilities throughout the country, and that would be your red dots all over. So with the national office, we would be 32 service points because we do on a national basis do the administration, legislation, policy with National Department of Social Development as well. The inpatient facilities are 10 altogether, and as you see, the color there is what's it, lilac. Satellite services, about 40 in the country, so that gives us almost 70 service points throughout the country. And just for those of you that know your provinces, one or two satellites sometimes close, new ones open. So they may be slightly outdated. This was done about 6 months ago. Adolescent inpatient facility, we have 4 right now, and you'll see the squares there on the map as well. So that gives you an idea of how we're situated in the country. Unfortunately, as you see, it seems to be clustered, but the satellites do help to almost reach out to the rest of the provinces as well. All right? And what we're finding with social development, national and provincial and locally, is that you do assist us a lot in trying to get to the areas, the underserved areas as well. Thanks, Carol. Okay, in terms of our biannual report, which you have there, and you have the other one, which is our provincial reports, a lot of reading. We've captured, as I said, the salient points, and in the blue booklet, you'll see we have 8 portfolios, and they are really our engines, our drivers. The portfolios do the implementation and generate the so-called work and get to whatever's to be done. There are 8 portfolios, being treatment, research, prevention, community development, marketing, human resources, training, and finance. And we've captured 2 important points from each portfolio, but if you find that if you're reading through the booklet and there's something you need to ask us on any of the portfolios, please feel free to ask us on that as well. We started a strategic plan exercise in 2003. And every 2 years with our biannual report, we have all these achievements. And for this period, In terms of treatment, we have an extensive process of accreditation of all SANCA organizations in order to ensure compliance with minimum norms and standards. What we've done is all our SANCAs are affiliated to national, but we've done new criteria, new minimum norms and standards, and we asked them to comply to all of this, and we found that it's really, really beneficial to the SANCA organization to have done the standardization. Also, standardization of outpatient treatment programs, that need came from visits to the centers themselves whilst we were doing these assessments. And this is in the final stages of development. So those would be the 2 points for treatment. In terms of research, development of an in-house treatment outcome evaluation tool will be completed during the course of 2010. We've been working on it for the last 2 years. And then the development of a national research policy to approve, screen, and monitor research within SANCA as well. Prevention, 6 manuals, 2 of which have been accredited, were developed for use in SANCA awareness and prevention programs. And the 2 that have been accredited are the HIV/AIDS manual and the 1 for correctional services, which is called the Akhenang manual. And then also the database and standardized statistical forms designed for prevention and community development services. We've been in existence for a long, long time, and we found that standardization wasn't addressed, and this is what we're busy doing right now with all the portfolios. Community development, approval of guidelines for community development by the SANCA National Management Board, and the compilation of the SANCA Community Development Manual. What we find is when, on a national level, when we have site visits, they do ask us for these manuals. So a lot of your national social development do have these manuals with them already. On the marketing side, we have a toll-free number, and it's an 0861 number that connects up. If you dial that number, if you're calling from the Western Cape, it will direct you to our Western Cape and George office. If you in one of the other provinces, a similar thing happens. So we're finding that as a very good resource tool right now. The launch of a 3-year behavior change campaign and the Gold Rush campaign, I will talk more about it in a little while, but we are launching with a marketing company in terms of the 3-year behavior change campaign, and the beginning of that is a research project so that it can speak to the rest of the behavior change campaign, and that is happening as from this month onwards. The Gold Rush campaign, if you look at the ribbons we've given out to you and we're wearing, is that our marketing company started a Gold Rush campaign for us last year. And it was truly very, very successful. I'm not sure here in the Western Cape if you guys saw what was going on at shopping centers. I think there were 2 shopping centers that took part. We had about 16 shopping centers countrywide where we did exhibitions, sold ribbons, sold stickers, just to create awareness on substance abuse during SANCA week, which is usually around the 19th to the 26th of June, and then in International Day is incorporated on that in that week as well. So we felt it was a huge success, and when I talk about 2010 World Cup, I'm going to ask for your assistance in terms of how we can reinforce the hype of substance abuse in that week, and the fact that it's World Cup, and what can we do during that week or that month together. But I will get to that now. Then personnel, in terms of HR, human resources, we finalized, printed and distributed our SANCA Human Resources Manual, and that is for utilization within SANCA. And then there's a personnel orientation and internal accreditation system for SANCA staff in the final stages of development as well. In terms of training, there's an infant inventory and database of SANCA training programs and facilitators compiled, standardization of SANCA empowerment capacity building and of programs is underway as well. Our finance portfolio concentrates more on SANCA itself as the organization, and that is for the development and implementation of the SANCA financial policy. So against standardization of all financial documents, compilation of policies speaking to issues such as fraud and sustainability, income generation in process. Then focusing on 2010 as such and the World Cup, we just felt that we needed to talk to you about this since we are partners in this. And in terms of the actual awareness, we needed to give you an idea of what we're planning to do in terms of awareness in the country in that month. And we're almost appealing to you that let's see at ways of working together there. Perhaps you can allow us entree into, I'm asking the impossible, but it can be done, entree into stadia and fan parks, because that's where we need to make the awareness. I think on Saturday I was watching a program on health issues, and they were talking about how health will be involved in, I mean, we are social development and health together, and how can we all work together to create this awareness of what substance abuse is going to do and will be done during that period. I think we're all really hoping that it doesn't get worse than what it is in that period. Because of the extended school holidays, it's good and not good, because the youth won't be at school, but again, they will get up to a lot of things during that period. And we do have holiday programs for a lot of them, but remember, there are these vulnerable groups such as children, youth, drug trafficking, and human trafficking will be taking place. And we do have a lot of our clinics focusing on that in terms of drug and human trafficking, assisting, working with their local SAPs and all the other departments in the area as well. So I'm asking or appealing that let's look at common ways of how we can deal with this issue getting into fan parks and into stadia as well. In terms of commonalities across SANCA organizations during this period, as I said, there will be holiday programs to keep the kids busy, and there will be a focus on disadvantaged communities, outreach to rural areas as well, utilization of drama, exhibitions, the Gold Rush activities. International Day will happen. We're still waiting for the United Nations theme. I don't know if any of you know it by now, but we tie it in so that it becomes a common theme internationally. There will be wellness days in the corporate sector during that month as well, and more especially during SANCA Week, and strong networking and partnership with government, local authority, churches, NGOs, CBOs, and yourself as such. Clinical services, most of our clinics are gearing themselves up for, as I said, we've got the 31 centers there, but what they're also focusing on is short-term intervention in this period, because should somebody have a problem with their addiction, or, you know, you get an unruly crowd or something. So we do have capacity at all our centers for a range of treatment services, short-term in terms of brief assessments and referrals as to what can be done. We can handle relapses, aftercare and support to the families as well. Then we've had queries almost now already in the last month or two regarding methadone substitute treatment and visitors bringing this medication over. So we can deal with that as well in terms of advising them how to go about that as well. Training, brief screening and referral of volunteers and key personnel that may be involved at the fan parks if we do have entree to that. And just as we did this presentation, we heard from Johns Hopkins University that three provinces, that's KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and the Western Cape, will be able to get into the fan parks through the Johns Hopkins wellness program or something. So already I'm so pleased that we have entree for our three provinces. So let's hope we can do something about the other provinces. Commonalities across SANCA organizations during this period, as I've mentioned earlier, are the screening and the brief assessments. Brief intervention as well we'll offer, both inpatient and outpatient, and with substitution therapy as well, and there will be aftercare. Referrals will be to emergency services as well as to support services such as the AA, NA, CAD, and other helplines. We're also thinking of after-hour services, and our toll-free number will help there, and there will be extended office hours. So right now, the inpatient centers are 24 hours, but the outpatients will have extended office hours as well. There will be 24-hour helplines and a resource directly, but the 24-hour helplines will be with special arrangements. The Gold Rush, as I said, will be happening in that period of Thank You Week and International Day as such. And our immediate challenges for the World Cup is, I think, a given, and that is the human resources. So we need a lot of volunteers to be part of this and training of them as well as our existing staff. So we need entree with FIFA, and we hope that, that you have some sort of ways of getting us in there, and we all can work together on this. Then the second most important one, or maybe the first most important one, is finance. I mean, all of this requires money to do. So the finance is a huge challenge for this period. And then the difficulty in accessing FIFA plans. All this is happening, but we not, as the chairperson opened up with, we have a huge problem. It's going to be exacerbated by all the elements that come in, but we don't have access to their plans as yet, and it's really the 11th hour right now. Access to fan parks, I feel even if we can't get into the stadium, if we can get access to the fan parks, that would be wonderful. It's just awareness and in terms of referral where they can go to. Networking and coordination. And then one of the other huge challenges we foresee is the language and cultural differences. If we are offering services, we may have that huge barrier there in terms of language and culture. And then another challenge is networking and partnerships with relevant role players, such as yourself, but I'm seeing this as a positive step, so I won't call it a challenge for now. And then challenges with substance abuse fora, NGOs, CBOs, others as well. So for us, this is a very exciting period to be with you, and we hope that during question-answer time and when we leave, as you said, you'll look at a way forward after we leave, that you come up with some solutions in terms of how you can assist us with this footprint throughout the country of taking this the year, but more especially the month that is so important, and focusing more especially on substance abuse and what we can do jointly together. I'm not sure if you're going to share your plans with us, but if we could be included, it strengthens the cause. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies.
Is that better? Okay. Usually my voice is loud enough. My daughter tells me I don't need a microphone. But thank you. My thanks added to Reverend Smith and Mrs. Gardner for inviting us to be here this morning. It is important for us to share with you. If you look at our Sanka National Strategic Plan, as Mrs. Gardner mentioned, we started on a long process of strategic planning in 2003. However, the strategic plan obviously needs to be reviewed and changed, and we realized that we needed to bring about drastic changes during the past 2 years, which is why we have now looked at a longer-term strategic plan from 2010 to 2020. One of the reasons for that is because there is a huge change in the demand for the services that we have traditionally rendered. So in order to remain relevant and in order to meet the needs of the communities that we serve, it becomes increasingly necessary to look at yourself as an organization and to make sure that you are adapting to those changing needs. Furthermore, since we've been welcomed back into the economic community and there's a lot more trade, airports are a lot more open, harbors are a lot more accessible and so on, certainly there is a wider variety of drugs that is coming into the country. There are more types of drugs coming into the country, and alarmingly, I'm not sure how many people have seen the report in the Sunday Times this past Sunday, but the drug lords are actually now stockpiling drugs, especially for the 2010 Soccer World Cup. So this is very alarming, and apparently this is very reliable information. The core areas that we have identified within Sanka to concentrate on for the next 10 years are outlined on the slide for you. But first of all, to strengthen liaison and networking, not only with our funders, but also with other organizations and other bodies in the communities who already are doing some work, but perhaps need some capacity building, need mentorship, the emerging organizations, for example, that we can certainly strengthen our liaison and networking with, because there is no way that any one organization can meet the needs of this country at the moment in terms of alcoholism and drug dependence, and in fact of some of the other addictions as well. The development and expansion of services is very high on our list of priorities. Why? Because if you look at the gaps in services and think about the map that we saw earlier on with the footprint of services, there are clearly a lot of areas that there are huge gaps in terms of prevention, awareness, and treatment. And so the development and expansion of services into those areas is a priority for us. We need to strengthen our financial sustainability, and that links with a point further down on the slide, the second one from the bottom, which is financial stability, sustainability, but they are different in a slight way. We need to strengthen our financial sustainability by strengthening our relationship with current funders, by making sure that we are absolutely accountable for every cent that is spent, and that, for example, if an audit is done by either by the Department of Social Development or the lottery or whoever the case may be, that we are absolutely accountable for all that money. Some of our organizations have recently had audits from the National Lottery, and it's astounding to hear the things that their auditors had to tell our organizations. For example, when we asked, you know, why they needed to see absolutely everything, the one auditor said, well, you know, I've actually been to places that we thought we'd funded, and the place doesn't exist. So for reasons such as that, I think one of our strengths in Sanka is our credibility, but we need to sustain that and be absolutely certain that we maintain that. The Sanka structures and communication also came under the spotlight at our strategic planning. And as with any other healthy organization, I think we all have to look at our own structures and our own communication channels. They cannot be static, and they are certainly not perfect. So we will be looking internally as well as looking to other people as well. A structure for the directors of Sanka, as you heard, there are 32 service points. So there are about 32 heads of service or directors in Sanka. And this fell away some years ago, and we've decided to reinstate that. Because not only can we learn from one another and the practices in the different organizations, but we can also share information, and we can make sure that our services and the standardization of services is maintained. As Shamim said earlier, we have just been through a process of visiting every single Sanka organization to make sure that they comply not only with the minimum norms and standards as required by the department, but also those within Sanka. And we need to maintain that standardization. It is no good having one level of service in one area, and at another Sanka, it's a totally different service that is offered. That is no good. We have to really strive to maintain that now. Financial sustainability is obviously looking towards the future. How are we going to sustain ourselves financially? And ladies and gentlemen, I must be quite honest with you, this is a huge threat for us in some of our organizations at the moment. We need not only, we believe, to look at funders who fund our crush, such as the departments, but we also obviously need to look at project funding, which we do, but we also need to look at income generation activities as well in order to be able to sustain the future of Sanka. And then, of course, a succession plan. And this would pertain not only a succession plan in terms of staff at the various clinics, but also in terms of our management boards. As you all know, we all have management boards who are made up of volunteers who are professionals in their own right and give us of their time and their expertise to assist us. So we need to look at succession plans there as well. This is the draft vision. Bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that this strategic plan, which was mooted at our biennial general meeting in February of this year, is still in draft, and the process has now gone to the local level, to grassroots level, as well as to the provincial level for input, so that we can finalize the document, hopefully for approval at our next National Management Board meeting in August. Now, the 2020 vision is quite an interesting one. Sanco to be acknowledged as the most inclusive and effective organization in the field of addiction in Africa. Now, that is not a vision that we have to go into all parts of Africa and establish Sanco services. The reason why we've included Africa is because we've been approached and have been involved in a number of initiatives involving the countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And the needs are huge there as well. But they see the South African infrastructure and the South African policy and legislation in terms of substance abuse as certainly being the most advanced and certainly being the best in Africa. So the idea is to provide advice, to provide consultation and so on. We obviously cannot give our scarce resources to other countries in Africa and not serve our own country first. But certainly we are involved in those, and we've had a number of conferences which have involved sub-Saharan Africa, and some of the countries don't have any services whatsoever. Our mission statement is that we would be able to develop, expand, and sustain multiple addictive behavior services in Africa through partnerships with governments and other stakeholders. Now, multiple addictive behaviors, we have to include other addictions now, such as gambling. Many of the Sanco clinics already do provide a service for gamblers. This is fully funded by the National Responsible Gaming Board, and takes place mainly on an outpatient basis, but in certain circumstances at the inpatient clinics as well. The other addictions which we have been approached to draw up programs for, or at least consider drawing up programs for, are the internet, people who are addicted to internet, to Mixit, those kinds of things, also pornography, and many, many others. And fortunately, we haven't been approached yet on the shopping one, because I think I'm guilty on that one myself. Also in our mission statement, we want to be able to influence policy formulation and to lobby for safer communities. Well, the safer communities lobby, I think we all know, is worldwide. And policy formulation, we are already involved and are often consulted by various government departments as well as other organizations with regard to policy formulation. Interestingly enough, also by commerce and industry in terms of employee assistance programs when they're looking to develop a policy for that. And we want to strengthen our corporate image through effective marketing of our footprint, and I think one could also add there standardization. We have some fairly weighty medium to long-term objectives, some of which you will see are obviously have been contained in the call, which we've spoken about already, to develop and expand addiction services, to increase our financial sustainability, to strengthen Sanco's recognized brand of services, and this is for us very important, to stick to the knitting, to stick to our core services. Alcoholism and drug dependence are huge problems. Alcoholism is the major problem, not only in this country, but in the world. And we cannot move away from that. People often get caught up with the hype about the drugs and those kinds of things, but it may interest you to know that in our youth treatment centers during the past financial year, the adolescents treated there, now these are people between the ages of 13 and 18, we also treat children younger than that, but the children that were there between the ages of 13 and 18 indicated, 35% of them indicated that alcohol was their number one drug of choice. So we must concentrate on the alcohol as well. It is a major, major problem amongst our youth. To strengthen and expand effective organizational structures and inter-organizational communication methods. Gone are the days of having the luxury of being able to work on an island in a little pocket. We don't have the resources. We have to use everybody that's involved, and there are. There are FBOs, CBOs, NGOs. There are many organizations that are able to contribute to this fight against substance abuse. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, unless we join hands, that we might as well give up right now, and we are not prepared to do that. We want to implement a recruitment and retention plan for professional staff, because currently we are having major challenges around that, mainly because of the scarce skills of the particular categories of staff that we use, namely mainly social workers and nursing staff. We have a particular problem with those two professions at the moment, one of which is, of course, that we in the NGO sector, and this is not just Sankta, but we in the NGO sector cannot compete with obviously the salaries and packages that are offered in the different departments, all the departments that employ those two categories of staff. We want to enhance strong leadership through a developmental succession and transformation plan. Our challenges. One of our very biggest challenges is the gaps in services. I again refer you to the map, but the gaps in services don't only pertain to Sankta. The gaps in services also, we look at the rehabilitation centers which are state-run. We look at the need for long-term rehabilitation centers for younger adults. When I say that, I'm talking about your 18 to 30-year-olds. And the reason why we now need centers such as this is because, if we think about it, some children have been drugging or drinking or both since the age of 12, 13. They now come for rehabilitation, say at the age of 20, say at the age of 22, 25. They have not only lost out on all their development, their actual developmental stuff for adolescence and all of those things. They've lost out academically. They are not skilled. We need longer-term centers so that we can skill these young people to go out and be able to fulfill their place in society, which they are unable to do at the moment. And it really is a massive challenge for us. So that is the one big need that we have. Recruitment of and retention of staff and volunteers. The picture of volunteerism is changing. The whole structure of volunteerism is changing. We find it very difficult in this busy life where most people are working people now. People have two jobs sometimes, and then they come and sit on a committee and have demands from a management board. Very difficult. The changing patient profile and the needs in the field of addiction. The changing patient profile, you have the profile now, first of all, of the young people who are not skilled. You also have people presenting for treatment at younger and younger ages. Therefore, you do have to adapt your programs to that. You cannot treat a 9-year-old with the same program that you apply to an 18-year-old. You cannot do that. And a 9-year-old needs to be treated on an outpatient basis. The needs in the field of addiction are also moving towards things like diversion programs, where young people are given the option through the court sometimes, instead of being sent to prison or being put awaiting trial in a prison, they are then referred for diversion programs, such as those that NICRO has and Sankta. And NICRO and Sankta actually partner very well throughout the country on those programs, because once again, there isn't the funding to everybody be able to do their own thing. So we partner very well with them in that. You know, the patient profile as well, we're seeing more and more people with dual diagnosis problems. So you will have, for example, a person with a serious psychiatric problem as well as a serious alcohol and drug problem. Now, that is very difficult to control, obviously, in a rehabilitation center. There aren't the facilities, really. You may have a psychiatrist, but sometimes people are really psychotic and really very ill, and they need, for their own protection, to be in a more confined environment. So those are the kinds of things we need to be looking at. Also, a lot of aggressive behavior and so on. Furthermore, we are getting a lot of very ill people in for treatment now. When I say very ill, they may be on antiretrovirals. There is obviously a huge link between HIV and AIDS and substance abuse. Not because of needle use, because in this country, although it is on the increase, we don't have a huge problem with needle use and all of those things yet. But certainly, when you're under the influence of drugs, your level of impulsivity is definitely down, and there is a lot of high-risk promiscuous sexual behavior, so that you have a girl of 13 coming into a treatment center saying she really doesn't know how many partners she's had. So we've had to move now to training our staff, particularly our nursing staff, in pre- and post-test counseling. And we have some of our centers are actually registered as VCT sites. There is an increasing demand for our services, and the more development work we do, the more awareness work we do, of course, the more there's a demand for services because people now know what to expect. And there's a serious, serious need for coordination of services, not only within SANCAP, but throughout the whole country. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, SANCAP is striving and continues to strive to align with the transformation policy of the Department of Social Development. And this is carried out in all the provinces at local, at regional, and provincial level, and then at national level as well. To many of our provinces, we have to give transformation reports each quarter. We have to give those quarterly reports. So we are required to account for that. We have the active promotion of the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, which, as you know, is the document which is the most important in this country when it comes to alcoholism and drug abuse. And this is promoted through involvement mainly in the local drug action committees, because the local drug action committees are your committees and the engine room, if you like, of getting the Drug Master Plan off the ground. And, well, it's not as fast as most of us would like, but certainly there are huge moves afoot to get that going. SANCA has supported and given huge input into Act 70 of 2008, our new legislation, and we eagerly await the finalization of the regulations to that act so that we can implement that. SANCA is ideally positioned to offer empowerment and capacity building, services and mentoring to emerging organizations. I did allude to that a little bit earlier in this presentation. And then on a final note, we would just like to assure you of SANCA's intention to maintain and strengthen strategic partnerships, not only with the Department of Social Development, but with other departments, as well as with all other stakeholders in the field of substance abuse. Because without our joining together to fight together, I'm afraid that we're not going to win this battle. So we need to all stand together and stop what is threatening to be a really huge, huge threat, not only to our youth, but our other vulnerable groups, such as women, and in fact, to our society at large. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Honourable members, do you have it? Is there any questions of clarity before we go into the nitty-gritty of the discussion? Or would you like to go into the presentation directly? Silence means consent. Honourable member Kopana, I can see you burning to ask the question.
I was suggesting that we need to ask questions while we are still fresh and remember what is happening before we go to other issues. Can I go ahead? Okay. Thank you for the presentation. My first question is regarding the challenges. You talk about gaps in service, especially in the rehab center. You said that one of the most important things that you are doing, we work closely with the state-run rehabilitation center. But I've got a concern. Presently, we had a lot of mushrooming rehabilitation centers. So what are you doing to make sure that those mushrooming rehabilitation centers, they have been monitored to check whether they practice within the minimum standard of, that is the thing. And exactly, and the other thing, secondly, while I'm speaking about those mushrooming organizations, they don't even have the program of the rehab. They don't even have the skillful or the knowledgeable people to be there. And my concern, again, in regarding those rehabilitation centers is that it's sort of breeding the drug lord, because the very same owners of those rehabilitation centers, they're also involved in selling drugs themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Lamola. I've noted the other four other members.
I've got quite a few questions, but I'll raise my first two. I'd like to know what the effect of single parenting is on drug use, on drug or substance abuse people. That's my first one. And my second one is a breakdown per province. Now, I'd like to have a list of the contact numbers of your outpatient facilities, your inpatient facilities, and your satellite service so that we can visit these centers. Those are my first two. Thank you. I'll come back.
Lamula, if you look at the blue book and just turn it around, and you'll have all the numbers.
The effect of single parenting on drugs and substance abuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Makuba. I've noted Honourable Member Mahas, Nelson, yes, Rakakula, and Dudley. And Wharton. Okay.
Thank you. I've also got a few questions, but I'm going to take just a bunch at the moment. We know that social workers is a scarce skill. We know that the department has got bursaries out, and there are quite a few social workers that are on bursaries from the department. Are these social workers being taken up in learnerships or, you know, within SANCA institutions? We know that they go out to do practicals and so on. We know also that there are learnerships that are up. And then I want to find out, because what SANCA's experience is in terms of funding. You've got clinics, you've got services all over the country in different provinces. How is subsidies or what are you finding the effects of the various types of funding going to different centers in different provinces? We also know that in some instances, and I want you to tell us generally when you look at the whole country, we find that, or do you find that once social workers have received the necessary training within SANCA, that they are then absorbed by other departments, that you lose your staff, this issue of staff retention, because we often find this as well, once they've been trained, once they go to greener pastures, and especially in areas where the funding, you know, there are much better packages outside. So just to talk a little bit about that. And then to think itself, your policies, your financial policies, that you are busy working. I think you referred to two policies, the financial policy and the one on screening and monitoring and research within the SANCA organization. When you hope to have these policies in place and running and operational, one last thing for now, Chairperson, something that I'm very disturbed about is our young people and the use of ugly bubbly all over. What is SANCA's take on that? What is your findings on the use of these ugly bubbly by especially young people? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presentation. I also have a few questions, but I'll just go through them quickly. The first one is just a matter of clarity. I just want to know that as SANCA, and there's a need that you communicate with other departments like police, health, education, home affairs, all other departments that you can communicate with that can assist you with your work. Do you have a program for 2010 that maybe puts you in on any of the programs that they have? Because we know that with 2010, that the demand for your services has increased, but with 2010 it's going to be even more, because there'll be human trafficking, things like that. Children are a target on that. I just want to know that. And private sector, do you really receive assistance from them, because I think they are also affected by the problem. And my other question is that, you know, on the legislation that you have, you hear that when these places that are selling alcohol, it will be said not to be sold to children under the age of 18. Is that really effective? Is it really, do you find, is it really effective for working, or is it assisting you with your work? And you spoke about social workers, where you said you have a problem of not being able to keep them due to not being able to pay the packages that other companies are paying them. Well, it is obvious that your work requires more social workers to work with. How do you foresee overcoming the problem? I think I'll just wait for that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member Makuba. Honourable Member Malhas.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm interested in our schools. It's good that SANCA would like to get involved in the 2010. But I feel there is a need at the moment for you to have the awareness programs in the schools at the moment. Because already, like in the constituency I come from, we're getting the police involved. You know, of course, there's a need to speak to the principal and to the children so they know exactly what to expect. And then within schools, we have the program, the Safer School Committees. And SANCA have to tell me how will they get involved in that Safer School Committees. Then you spoke to Safer Communities. Now, with the Safer School Committees, that comes from education through police. And they are having safer communities too. We have to have safe street committees in every area. And the previous honourable member spoke about the relationship. So I'd like to know, how is your relationship with our different departments? And then when it comes to this long-term centres, we'd like to teach skills for those of 18 to 30. There we're looking at the CTIS in higher education. Chairperson Cole, on both Blade, Ms. Mandy's Department of Higher Education. Higher education, what is your relationship there? And then we've got social development here, and the chairperson didn't yet allow them to speak, but social development, because I know when I go to the one-stop center in PE, Narina Micro is there, and social development also have diversion programs, and how are you involved there? Thank you.
Actually, I hope that social development have taken note of the question, because I would also like them to respond, especially on the 2010 issues and the other issues, the linked issues that the members raised. I think that's very important.
Thanks. obviously we're working with the new legislation on the ground. It will be interesting for us to know what the issues are that are turning up in terms of not just the new legislation, but the legislation you've been working with for some time. How it's working out, is it improved, has it not improved, are there any particular areas that are creating extra hiccups and problems, that kind of thing. And then around your volunteerism, perhaps, you know, you could give us a clearer idea of what kind of volunteerism is helpful and what's not helpful. I'm thinking of people who are contacting me all the time now who know kids are going to be at a loose end during this June-July period and wanting to get churches mobilized and involved. And what if everybody's got, like, great ideas? But how do you kind of get those people? And is it worth putting those sort of people onto you? Do you have a particular department that's going to be able to handle and channel that kind of energy and utilize it? And, you know, we need to know, you know, is it worth channeling people your way? Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable Member Magagula.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is,
when they speak about the succession plan, they speak about the board, which are the volunteers, and I want an explanation. How is the board being a volunteer? And another thing, when they speak about the financial problems in the industry, the problem is that they also want to recruit people to work, and also that is part of their objective to implement recruitment and retention plan, and to recruit in their challenges also to recruit. So actually, I want to know, Rod, do you have enough finances to recruit, or you don't have enough finances, you can't recruit? Why your board is a volunteer, and then only that. If you have money, you have to give your board up so that they can work, and then also give the people that are working, employ people to work. But if you are struggling for get people to work, struggling also with your board, and then I don't know. Thank you.
Honourable Member Waters.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to ask some questions, because as you know, I'm not a member of this committee. I serve on the Health Committee, and I've come out of interest. So if I could just ask a few questions. You didn't mention the Kimojo the awareness campaign that the Department of Social Development is running. I mean, do you not fit into that campaign, and if so, how do you fit into it? Because it wasn't mentioned at all. Then you also mentioned the fact that younger children are drinking alcohol, particularly more so than other drugs. I mean, have you been involved with the health department or trade and industry to try and encourage regulations similar to smoking regulations? I know it's not the end all and be all; it won't solve every problem, but it will help assist in some degree. And then also, if I can just get your personal view, in many countries around the world, substance abuse falls under the ambit of the health department, not social development. Now, in this country, it's under social development, and one could say the prevention aspect should fall under social development, but the treatment should certainly fall under health. And I was just wondering, what's your view on that? Do you think it's right where it's sitting at the moment, under social development, or do you think it would be a better place under health? And just for your views. And then, Chair, if I may be a bit cheeky and just ask the department about the regulations for the new Act, when will it be ready? Because it was passed in 2008 already. They can give us some indication, because they desperately need it in order to get the Act implemented. And my last question, Chair, one of the previous members did mention the issue of schools, and that's where basically, to use a phrase, the ground war should be fought against substance abuse, because we need to educate the children. Could you give us some indication from your organisation how many schools you visit on an annual basis, high schools and primary schools? Thank you very much, Chair.
My second question is on, I'd like you to speak on your successes achieved thus far. Surely, because you've spoken of challenges, but you need to speak, appeal to the committee on your successes achieved too. And then, if you have any stats on treatment awaiting clients or youth, if you can supply us with that. And in 2006, and I want to actually refer to the Kamoya project, trainers were trained and implementers, and that was in 2006-2007. Can you give us any details if those people are taken up in your project? And then on the rural areas, you know, I'll quickly view here that your centers are only in Cape Town. Do you have any of these centers or satellites in the rural areas? I really feel that the rural areas are not covered very well, and people cannot, they simply do not have the means to get to the city. How do you go about ensuring that the rural areas are also taken up in your projects, especially in the schools? Thank you.
Honourable Member Adams, would you like to ask a question?
Voorzitter, ek is in een halve lid van die komitee, maar ek ga die vrijmoedigheid neem om te vraag. My vraag sluit aan by die vraag van Honourable Lamula. Ons moet in die Weskaap sit ons met en in die streek waarvan dan ek kom in die Noordkaap, sit ons met een geweldige drankprobleem, vooral onder plaaswerkers en in die landelike gebiede. Hoe actief is Sanka daarby betrokken? Dan my tweede vraag is, adverteer Sanka aan self? Derdens, hoe is hulle betrokken by die snuif van gom, vooral by nie skoolgaande kinders? Speel hulle een rol daar? En dan die laaste vraag, ek het al gekyk hier na die sentrums hierso. Op grond waarvan word die Sanka sentrum gestig? En want ek sien in my provincie daar bijvoorbeeld 2, volgens hierdie in die Noordkaap. Maar op grond wat is die faktore wat daartoe aanleiding gee dat daar een Sanka sentrum gestig word? En ek wil maar net beklemtoon wat die agbare Magas gesê het. Ons skole is 'n slagveld van misbruik van enige middele. En ek dink Sanka moet saam met onderwys en SIPS inzoom op daardie area, want ons moet voorkomend wees eerder as hy daarna sorg. Na die laaste vraag, omdat dit ook in my gemeenskap is, die gerehabiliteerdes, wat is die uitvalsyfer, wat er percentage uitvalsyfer is daar, en wat er ondersteuning word aan gerehabiliteerdes gegee, wanneer hulle terug is in die gemeenskap, want ons weet so dikwels, val hulle maar weer terug in die ou patroon. Dankie, agbare voorzitter.
Just a translation, the issue of aftercare services for people that have gone through a rehabilitation program, what programs are there in communities to take? The second issue is the issue of schools. The member feels very strongly that there should be, you got the I'm fine, the Kemoja campaign, right? I'm fine without drugs. Campaign, but there should be a strong emphasis on schools. Let us rather be preventative in terms of our intervention strategy. Then the other issue is the establishment of Sanka's centers. How do you go about to establish such a center? She's from Upington, so she's from that area where you have substance abuse in the lower orange river belt. That is quite, especially alcohol abuse, which is quite prevalent in that area. And then it was just comments around the issue of alcohol abuse and drug abuse in the schools itself. And then closer links between SAPS and SANCA and other organizations. That is very important. Sorry? And the use of it here. Honourable Member Kopane, and then I'll conclude with Klauser.
Thank you, Chairperson. My last question. I hear me when she was presenting, she talked about as an organization, they normally do the research to check whether they remain relevant to the core of their business. But I wanted to find out, when did the last time that we have made an impact study in terms of your service, whether is it relevant to the society? And the other question, during the presentation, you clearly said that you strengthened the relationship or you had that networking relationship with NGOs and whatever. I wanted to find out, because I regard you as a specialist knowledgeable organization, do we have any mentoring program to mentor those organizations that are upcoming or those that are already also having the same service as you? Then my last one, in terms of your financial sustainability, you talk about, you see, you also wanted to do some incoming projects. For the last three financial years, how much did you manage to raise besides the money that you have received from government? And the last one, all the government departments are having the employee program. One of the most important things, alcohol abuse is an issue. People, they don't, they are not effective when they have to serve the government because they abuse alcohol. How is your relationship with those people who are doing the employee program? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kupane. I think what is gratifying of this presentation is that it speaks to the current challenges we're facing when it comes to substance abuse. Now, coming to the change, if you look at your challenges, the gaps in services, the need for regulation of treatment centers, I'm sure the department will respond to that. The recruitment of and retention of staff and volunteers, I'm sure that is a challenge that a lot of NGOs are struggling with. In fact, because they will find better job opportunities in the formal sector. So you have a problem in a bit of retaining professionals. Now you're also finding an increasing demand for services, I'm sure, as members of parliament, we've seen in our communities that we serve the increase in substance abuse. We all are very much aware of that. But we're also very much aware of the fact that your drugs that are being abused are no longer just Mandrax, duck cuts and so on. But your heroin is becoming very prominent, also your derivatives of heroin, your sugars, brown sugar and so on and so on. And those are drugs that not all of us really understand the impact that those drugs have on individuals. And that is why there was a reference to methadone substitute treatment, because once you are heroin, if I'm correct in my assumption, you got methadone treatment. And I want to know whether Sanka will have, because you will have to have needles and methadone, people can come and just pick them up at certain centers around the country. For incoming visitors, whether you are going to have those points where people can come and connect their needles or their methadone. And also sites where they can inject themselves. Because this is the kind of treatment that are there. It's on a very small scale in South Africa yet. But I'm sure with the Soccer World Cup, you're going to see it. And are we as a country ready for that? I also want the Department of Social Development to respond to that as a country. Then you've... I think I would also like to hear, maybe we should find out from SAPS, whether we do it now, the next term, just in terms of SAPS, the cluster, the response from them, in terms of their readiness for 2010. I think that's very important. We should look into that. And then we will touch on the issues of human trafficking, social development, we have SAPS, all those partners in terms of their responses. But I think it's particularly gratifying to know that a partner, that Sanka has started to ready themselves for that. I think this is an interesting point, the need for, if you look at your treatment centers, especially we are treating adolescents, and you're 20-year-olds and you're 18 to 20-year-olds and so on, people that missed out on the adolescence. And how do you address that? Because it's also linked to the substance abuse problem that they're having. I think that's very important. The state has an obligation to a minor up to the age of 18. But there's always this challenge, what happens to the child after 18 years.
And I think in terms of your treatment centers, that is where the state can come in, because this is Parliament, not the state. But I think if social development is also comment on that, it's linked to the rights of children. It is a legal obligation for the state up to the age of 18. But here you have a real challenge in terms of skills development, but also in terms of the money the state has invested in this individual to be rehabilitated. And what is the real success rate? How do you measure your success rate? If you send the individual back into society that is not fully equipped to deal with the challenges he or she is going to face, which means that person could find themselves back a few months later, back again in the system. So how developmental is that approach, where you have these issues missing of skills development for people that are facing real challenges? Now, I want to agree with Honourable Member Kopane on the issue of mushrooming institutions of substance abuse all over the country. You find anyone, that's everyone, wanting to open or opening up a rehabilitation clinic, and then charging people exorbitant amounts for treatment that is not really treatment. And then you have, I think you have a shortage of inpatient facilities in our country. I can speak from experience from the Northern Cape side. I'm sure even if you look at the other provinces, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and so on, we used to transfer people to the Western Cape. They used to be, we send people here for treatment. Now, that is a huge challenge for the country. And if we don't do something about that soon, we're going to be in trouble. Because already there is this, as you said, there's a stockpiling of drugs. There's new drugs coming into the country. So you're faced with new drugs all the time. So you need to find new methods of treatment. And even as a community, in terms of your community response, we are totally unprepared for that. Now, if we are also totally unprepared in terms of our treatment and aftercare, we're in big trouble, which means we're going to sit with a huge problem in a few years' time. Now, I think in terms of the coordination of services, that's where the last challenge comes. There looks to be, I think, and that's where Honourable Watson and the other members also talked about the coordination of services. That is where, if social development can just tell us about coordination of services. The Department of Health comes in with these issues around psychosis and mental challenges. I'm sure there's an act that governs that. And then you have your issues, and then obviously there will be your detoxification services, where departments or health will have a bed or two available at a hospital, if they can, maybe at a provincial hospital. But it will be like one or two beds, it won't be like a whole ward of specialization of services. So that is also a challenge for us. So I would like the department to respond to that issue of the need of coordination of services. And maybe just explain to the committee how do you, even if you just give an example of a typical case, how will the different partners work together? Thank you. Madam Chair, should I... I'm not too sure, should I address my expertise on each one or go question by question to pass it on to one of the others? I'm not too sure.
No. Why don't you, when you finish with your section,
okay,
you can then pass on to the other members of SANC.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give an opportunity also for the Department of Social Development to also respond to those issues, because there were also targeted questions raised to them.
All right. In terms of the mushrooming centres, you did allude to that, but I just want to say that just to give you an example of another name slipping over there. The one in the Northern Cape, anyway. We were asked to go in with Nopur. We were asked to go in with social development. National development, when they had those concerns there. We did give them advice, but they didn't want to have anything to do with us. So just to say, yes, we agree with you. They're coming up, and we're saying we follow national departments, norms and standards, policy guidelines, all of that. And we're saying, yes, there must be a stop put to it, because they, as you said, they're not even delivering the proper treatment that they're supposed to, all right? The effect of single parenting, yes, those are at-risk families, and we do concentrate on them. We do offer skills training for the families, for the children as well. So we do education and prevention regarding at-risk families as well. Just in terms of the breakdown per province, as you said, it is the back of the book. What we don't have there are the satellite centres, but if you phone there, they would put you in touch with the satellite centres that are associated with each province. Social worker learnerships, perhaps Carol can come in here, but I'm just going to tell you, yes, we do have a huge problem with that. I think a few of you asked the same question, and we alluded to that in our presentation as well. We actually call ourselves the University of Substance Abuse Social Worker Training, because they seem to move on, and unfortunately to most of your departments as well, and the corporates, where the pay is much more. In terms of funding, that has always been a huge problem for us in terms of subsidy from yourself and from corporates out there, national and international funders, but we seem to be managing, but we're always appealing for more funding.
This is Parliament. We don't give subsidies. It's the National Department.
Okay, the National Department. Okay, sorry. I'm taking you as one. Sorry. Then social worker training, you'll talk about that. Policies are all available. Those that are still in progress, when they finalize, you can ask for it. But as I said to you, the National Department does take all our policies and our manuals when they do come for site visits. So they are available at any of the provinces as well, so you could get that. Other departments, in terms of our World Cup plans, programs, we do have them in place. So we're almost asking, as I said to you earlier, almost an appeal to say, how can we dovetail with yourself and other departments to work on the World Cup? We agree with you. It's going to be a huge problem. I think I've got private sector here. I think the question was, are we working with the private sector? No, except for the Johns Hopkins University that has invited us last week to work on three provinces with them. Underage drinking and selling, a huge problem, especially in the informal settlements, where it's a business for them and they couldn't be bothered about age. So yes, we do have a lot of underage selling, and through that, underage drinking as well. So it's a huge problem for us. The successes and the achievements. Somebody asked that question. we tried to capture as much as we could from the booklet, so if there's anything further you need to know, please call us or write to us, because I'm not sure. We tried to capture it. It's mostly captured in the blue book, so it is there. In terms of Kimoja, at the outset, when social development was doing it, we actually contributed hugely towards the Kimoja manual in terms of sharing of information, of training as well. And yes, most of the provinces, SANCA, do work with the Kimoja program with social development as well. So I don't know if that answers the question there. Rural areas, Cape Town, yes, we are working. As we said, if you phone Cape Town, you will get the satellites, and the satellites and Cape Town offices do work in the rural areas, but unfortunately we can't target every area. Farm workers drinking, we agree with you that it is a huge problem, but our Western Cape branch is working with the farm workers and a drinking program as well, so please contact them. I'm not sure about the advertising question, whether you meant do we market ourselves to say we do deal with glue sniffers as well. We do deal with all kinds of substance abuse. So, yes, we do deal with glue sniffing, with the glue sniffing population. In terms of Western Northern Cape, factors of setting up other centres throughout, I know we've only got Upington and Kimberley right now, and the area is so vast. We rely a lot on Northern Cape Social Development and other provinces to assist us in setting up, because this is continuous. We need funding for that. We need funding to set up. We need funding for resources, human, furniture, all of that. So it's very difficult to set up something on our own. Relapse and aftercare you talk about. Schools, every province, every SANCA works very closely with all the schools around the areas in terms of ongoing awareness and prevention education, and it's more especially in the June campaign that we do all year round, as well as intensified in schools where we get them involved in all kinds of activities, exhibitions, drama, all of that as well. SAPS, we do work with them as well. Locally, all the centers do work with SAPS as well. And with social development and SAPS and health, everybody has got a substance abuse program. We do work with them. But I think we need to intensify the relationship with all the departments. Somebody talk about the impact study on research relevant, right? Okay. Sipu, you take the impact study on research, right? Relationship with NGOs and CBOs, at this stage we focused that point came up more for the World Cup in terms of building up relationships for the World Cup. We do work with other NGOs and CBOs, but I think a lot of the times it's competition, it's survival of the fittest. So smaller NGOs and CBOs want to do their own thing and you know, don't come in and encroach on our territory. But what we're saying for the World Cup, we need to be a strengthened body. Do we have mentoring programs? Yes, we do. We have mentoring programs for everything, for volunteers, for CBOs, for NGOs as well. Financial sustainability, a huge, huge challenge, but we're surviving, but we would love to have more funding. And what I'd like to know, perhaps somebody here or the chair could answer this question, and that is, we get asked this question all the time in terms of, or I would put it as, we get a small cake of the substance abuse budget. Can somebody tell us what is the national budget for substance abuse and what goes to every province as well? Because we just can't seem to get that answer, because then we know what we're getting out of the substance abuse budget as well. But it's a huge challenge. We rely on subsidies and private national and international funding, but that is not constant. At least our subsidy is constant, and we know we can't rely on that. Schools, the need at schools, I addressed that already in terms of all areas work with their schools very, very closely. Will you address later schools, okay? The relationship with the different departments, yes. Health is a huge role player, as well as education, correctional services, and we do work with them. And I agree with the question that The focus, especially on treatment, should be on health, but unfortunately they don't subsidize us. Social development subsidizes us. I am saying education, correctional services, health, and social development, we should all be working together, and it would be wonderful if we received subsidy from all of these departments. Long-term seeker skills. Okay. PE diversion program, how are we involved? PE is really involved in all areas, and I stand to be corrected, but I'm sure they are involved in that, you know. Yeah, okay, so we'll get back to you on that. A new legislation. You, volunteerism, the mobilization of volunteerism, very, very difficult. Volunteers are very enthusiastic, but maintaining them, and especially without some kind of a remuneration, which is stipends, is difficult. But we're finding that a lot of our centers and us as national, we write that into our program in terms of paying for stipends, and we find that they do stay much longer. So we have got lots of volunteers, and I'm not sure if the question was, would you like to send more volunteers to us? But yes, we do train volunteers and, mobilization of that, but we do get them staying with stipends. Succession plan, will you take the succession plan? Okay. Kimocha, we've done young drinkers, regulation of safer drinking, you'll do that. Okay. All right, I just want to have a look at, I think that's EAPs. We have huge requests. We have about 8 of our centers doing EAP programs at most corporates, more especially in the Eastern Cape with huge corporates there, with the motor car industry as well. So we do have EAP programs. In terms of government, I think the chairman did answer that as well. In terms of methadone patients, at this stage, we don't treat with methadone. We treat with piceptone. Is that correct? Yes. But we are expecting, with the international community coming here, that they're going to bring their own methadone packs and whatever, and we've had queries such as those as well. So we are readying ourselves for that. Our treatment of heroin is different from the rest of the world. 20-year-old,
will you be providing needles to them? Is not the methadone?
Okay, then Carol will take that on. 20-year-olds missing out on youth. In our therapy sessions during inpatient and outpatient, that is addressed in terms of what they've lost and almost being stuck at a phase of in that 14 to 18-year-old phase of still doing things. So it is addressed in therapy with them. And, I don't know if
thank you very much. There are just a couple of additional points I'd like to make. First of all, with regard to the single parent issue, the one very good study that has been carried out shows that, yes, single parent homes are a risk for alcohol and drug abuse, but even where you have a two-parent home, where there is an absent father figure, there seems to be a higher incidence of alcohol and drug abuse. When I say an absent father figure, I don't necessarily mean that he's physically absent, but that he may be emotionally absent to the children as well. So that seems to be quite an important factor, which I thought was interesting, and I thought you might be interested in that. With regard to the social work student placements and the training of social workers who are on receipt of bursaries from the government departments, to add to what Mrs. Garda said about them obviously then moving across to the government department, there are certain provinces where the NGOs, and this is not SANCA, but the NGOs in totality, have taken a decision that they will not be taking for placement social workers who are in receipt of bursaries from the government, because they go and work for the department then. So those NGOs are thus currently accepting for placement students who have not been in receipt of a bursary. I'm not sure the extent of all the provinces, but I know that in certain regions in KwaZulu-Natal that is certainly the case, and in some parts of the Western Cape. There was a question with regard to our funding, and the pertinent question was how much over and above the subsidy did Sanka manage to generate over the past 3 years. I cannot give you that figure on a national basis, and I'm not sure Mrs. Garda could offhand. However, just to say that the non-uniform, it wouldn't be the same for all the Sankas because there is a non-uniformity across the provinces in the methods of subsidization, and one of the other questions alluded and focused on this as well. So that you would find in one organization, for example, that their subsidy of total expenditure would, say, be 32% in a year, and they would have to find the rest of the money. So it would depend on which province it was and which organization. But suffice to say that there a great deal of work is done to source funding other than from the Department of Social Development. Furthermore, and this relates to the gentleman from the Health Committee, where you asked about health and welfare. Well, in the majority of the provinces, health does not subsidize at all. So the medical services are not subsidized by health at all, and this obviously creates a very huge problem for us and a challenge because social development subsidizes according to whatever province, it could be posts, it could be programs, but generally speaking does not involve the health component. Yet when we have the registrations and we look at the minimum norms and standards, there are very stringent standards laid down with regard to what you are able to provide in terms of medical services if you are to be registered as an inpatient treatment center. For me, you asked for an opinion on whether we thought it should fall under health or fall under welfare, and I think that it actually is a combined function. It is not for one or the other because there are very clear functions for both departments. The question about detoxification, and I think the chair made it and said that there may be one or two beds in a hospital for detox. There aren't many. There are challenges around that, certainly, around the detox, but in some of the provinces it works very well, where people go for detox and then are able to continue on a community-based program and so on, which obviously is more cost-effective and also works better for the patient because he or she can carry on going to work or school or whatever the case may be. So for me, that would be a combined function that I would like to see those departments working together, and certainly that the medical aspect, that we can not only receive funding, but guidance from the Department of Health. The hubbly bubbly question, certainly that is a concern for us, whether children are using these hubbly bubblies with substances in them or whether it's purely the water and so on is still a concern because it's the behavior. And if you're indulging in that kind of behavior, it's very much easier to move on to the next step. So SANCA has a very strong policy on that, and we certainly would discourage that. We work in our extensive work in schools. Incidentally, in prevention at every one of the 32 SANCA organizations, the majority of the information officers and our people who go out and do the prevention programs spend the bulk of their time on schools. So I hope that reassures you. We wish we had more staff, obviously. We wish we had more capacity, but certainly the bulk of our time is spent on that. With regard to KMOJA, it is so. SANCA organizations were involved in the training some time ago. We have master trainers within SANCA, and we have continued to utilize that in most of the provinces. I see KMOJA now is also coming back. It's gaining in momentum again, which is perhaps a very good thing because it is a program which can be utilized and marries very well with our awareness programs. So fortunately, some of the people who are master trained are still with SANCA, and they were instrumental in running workshops for departments and other NGOs on returning from the master training courses. If we carry on, and then we have a look then at our next question, which was about the financial problems that we have and how we see the financial problems which that gentleman is referring to around the recruitment and the retention of staff. Yes, the financial problems are around that, but we obviously need to continue recruiting staff because we sometimes lose social workers, for example, or nurses, but the post of the social worker continues to be subsidized. So we may have the subsidy, but we have a problem around the recruitment. And we also, in another category altogether, the volunteers work in a completely different category to our staff members, where they are the members of our board, and most of them are not in receipt of a stipend or any other income. There's that category of volunteer, and we are finding it increasingly difficult to source people like that who are able to give up their time and expertise. Other volunteers, for example, if we're using in project funding and so on, they do get, we obviously cost a stipend into the budget when we ask for the funding from the project funder. The question around the success rate of treatment programs, this is a very interesting one, and internationally, the figure is if you were looking at total abstinence as your mark of a success rate. Internationally, the figure is between 28% and 35%, which is very low. If you, however, the only way that our Sanka clinics at this point could really measure is by looking at people that come to aftercare. And aftercare, because you are physically seeing that person coming back, so you can measure whether that person is abstinent or not, or has relapsed but remains in the aftercare program, which is also a success in and of itself. So if one has a look at that, it also varies over the provinces, but we have a pretty high success rate of people coming to aftercare that are abstinent or are remaining in the programs. When I say very high, it is almost 60%, which is pretty high in terms of global norms. I know there are some centers that say they have 100% success rate. That is not true. It can't possibly be true, and I think we all know that. So it's no good pretending that that happens. But certainly, I'll tell you what the secret is, and the secret is aftercare. If somebody has a structured aftercare program and keeps up with that, the chances of long-term sobriety are far higher. So you would have noticed, Mrs. Gardner mentioned as well, that in terms of measuring impact, we are in the final stages now of developing a tool which will measure the impact of our treatment programs, outpatient and inpatient. So we are looking forward to that. We had consultants helping us with that, and we're very excited about the possibility of that being finished this year. The statistics with regard to people waiting for treatment, numbers we don't have right here, but certainly, generally speaking, you will not have a waiting list at an inpatient treatment center, generally speaking, for longer than 2 weeks. At an outpatient treatment center, you will also not have longer than 2 weeks. They are easier to accommodate there because it's a broader service and more easily, if you've got a bed, you've got a bed at an inpatient treatment center. If you don't, you don't. However, at outpatient, it's a lot easier to accommodate. So what we will sometimes do is if we cannot accommodate people in our inpatient treatment centers, we will sort of pack them and keep them going on an outpatient basis until such time as there is a bed available. So we do try that as well. And incidentally, where people are committed to a state rehab center and the waiting list is long or the waiting period is very long, we will also keep those people in our outpatient program until such time as they are able to go into the appropriate center to which they've been designated. Just trying to make sure that we've covering everything that we should. The legislation, the question around the legislation was, is it better, what gaps are there, and so on. Certainly the new legislation that's coming out is far better than the previous legislation. In one sense, it is far broader because it now finally includes outpatient or community-based services. It also includes prevention. So all of those things are now included, not only treatment. And that was seriously, seriously needed. It's also got rid of a whole lot of the old sort of stuff that really couldn't work and had found to be impractical over the past years. So we really are looking forward to it. It is progressive legislation, and we're really looking forward to that. Also to add to your question with regard to the volunteers, and you were referring specifically to children and people phoning you and saying, what can we do with them in the extended school holidays? What some of the SANCO organizations and, in fact, other NGOs are doing are running holiday programs for children, because it's very difficult to use children in volunteer work in substance abuse. You know, it's a specialized area, and certainly counseling and even dealing with the children in the centers is difficult. So we do have holiday programs. And the other possibility is also your Teenagers Against Drug Abuse groups. They do very good programs of their own, which they also run for children, and projects, and get them involved in all kinds of initiatives, such as writing poems, speech contests, and so on. So those are the kinds of things which raise awareness, which also address some of the members' concern with regard to an additional focus on schools. The Safer Schools Initiative, there isn't really consistency across provinces with regard to safer schools. I know, I think, in the Western Cape, and certainly in some of the other provinces, there is a big initiative towards safer schools, not only with regard to substance abuse, but with regard to crimes, weapons, and so on. And in the areas where those schools are, I'd like to invite the members, if there are safer schools and SANCA is not involved, please make an approach to your local SANCA and ask them to do so, and they will most certainly do so. Capacity is a problem in the sense that we cannot get involved in every single school all the time. So if something is brought to our notice, we will certainly attend to that. So please, if that could be done, that would be good. And then with regard to the methadone and the needles, just for the interest of members who don't know, but methadone has only very recently been registered in South Africa, together with the Subutex, and it is not widely used as yet. And also, with regard to needles, if I can just pertinently say, the harm reduction policy, and I'd be interested in the National Department's comment on this as well, is not finalized for the whole country. Harm reduction is referred to in the National Drug Master Plan, certainly, but it is not defined, and there is no one policy for the country. So that matter is receiving attention and will continue to receive attention at national level. And then also, SANCA has also not a firm policy on harm reduction, and that is something that is high on our list of agendas as well, because I think the International Harm Reduction Association is intending to hold their international conference here in 2013 or 2012. And we certainly had better have our ducks in a row by then. Certainly I speak for SANCA on that. But therefore, with needles, we do not have a policy with regard to needle exchange. What we would do from SANCA's point of view is that if somebody came in with their own methadone, and people are permitted legally to bring in 30 days worth of methadone, we would administer that for them and certainly provide clean needles at our clinics. So that would be done for them, certainly. But we would not embark on any kind of needle exchange. I think those are all the questions. I don't think I've missed anything out on my list. Thank you.
Madam Chair, as far as the succession plans go, we do have strategy in place for the succession of staff members to make sure that we have trained staff members that can succeed each other, because we need those staff members and the seniority in the staff as well. But there's also a succession plan for the management boards, because if the management board doesn't have the skill to manage properly, the SANCA won't be able to function as well. So yes, the strategy is in place, but it's often very difficult to have all those nice policies implemented because of high staff turnover and things like that. So yeah, staff retention is one of the problems, and the succession plan is in place, but we have problems.
I just wanted to add to that. I think your question was, have we got a plan of paying the volunteers? Am I hearing it correctly? Yeah, but unfortunately not. Volunteers on the boards are volunteers with no payment. And we do have 75% volunteers, 25% staff members on the board.
Thank you very much. In fact, I'm going to speak about research, a little bit of research, but developmental research. In this case, there was a research that was undertaken, and this research was geared towards needs assessment. And what came out loud and clear is that, in fact, people don't take prevention as a priority. They take their needs as first, as Franklin once said that prevention might not what the committee regard as a priority. They wanted their basic needs first to be attended to. Like, for instance, water, food, and the various things. And you find that once you have started in that fashion, then they accept you. That is an outcome. They immediately accept you. The outcome, when we provided water at a certain school, immediately the community started telling us about the type of drugs that are prevailing in that rural setting. But at the onset, they never jumped for whatever if you speak about drugs. They start telling you how many areas are under Daha plantation. They start telling you about, immediately they participate. So that is the reason why then the outcome, the whole Sanka National started saying, let's implement community development. And then community development then discovered that there are three principles that need to be adhered to. That is felt needs of the people, participation, and self-help. Because of the lack of personnel, we need to transfer ownership of prevention and development. What in another research that took place, it came out loud and clear about the MDR TB, that in fact most of the people who are experiencing MDR TB, there are people who are abusing alcohol. And when research was made, 8 of those people who have died, they were confirmed as people who were using TB drugs as well as alcohol. So that's why somehow later they are not treatable. They are sent to hospitals like in the KwaZulu-Natal King George Hospital to be treated there, very expensive. In fact, per month, about almost, or yeah, 25,000 rand per person to treat an MDR, XDR. And so the outcome also revealed that partnership is very important, because we've discovered in the research that health has needs to be part of this, because a lot of chunk work that is done by social development should be partly done by health as well as in partnership with social development in funding. One thing also that came out from the research is that the rural people regard home brew, beer, alcohol, as food. They just wonder why we call it that. A person can, they say there's no such thing as a person becoming alcoholic from eating their food. And when a person is drunk, they say it's overeaten. Then they transfer that to other types of alcohol. Like, for instance, concoction came out loud and clear. Like, for instance, putting battery water in the type of alcohol. Then those names, they call them Dagunisa and so forth. People are abused on it, and their liver packed up quickly. So most of them suffer from liver cirrhosis of the liver. And then it is also a reason why the research came out as well that many people who are under at the correctional services, inmates,
which we attended recently, almost 100% of the selected group, they were abusing drugs before they committed crime. So there is correlation. Crime and drugs came out loud and clear as well. So in this regard, there is also an ongoing research on treatment modalities and research on the types, the training needs of the personnel of Sangha as a whole, the whole country, to check what types of skills they need. That has come out as well. As far as then about youth, we've got a pledge, which they call it Youth Charter, about drugs, that they must sign a pledge, that if they're participating in sports, they must not involve in drugs. That came out strong, and they saw the significance of that type of a pledge. So all in all, I would have said a lot about, but if you care to know about three principles of community development which came out from the people themselves, which is felt needs, participation, and self-help. Self-help is transfer of ownership, let people do things themselves. When you go on, people, they take ownership of the whole thing. That is the main thing of Sangha. Sangha is doing all over. They want to transfer ownership, not to stay with Sangha forever. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I'll give over to the department, Dr. Mobetwa, or Mrs. Tumaro.
And good morning, Honorable Chair, and morning, Honorable Members. I will try to answer certain questions, and also Dr. Mabita will deal with other two questions specifically. I will start with the one for the mushrooming of treatment centers and the monitoring of compliance thereof. It's a reality that there are treatment centers that are established without being registered or even meeting the required standards. I think we need to acknowledge that the current legislation that we use for registration has got gaps. Hence, we have a new legislation in place, but then it's not yet operational because we're still finalizing the regulations, and I'll also deal with the regulations issues as raised by Honorable Waters. Ideally, treatment centers are not supposed to operate before they are registered, but what we find in our country is that people establish treatment centers and operate them without even registering them, which is a problem because it poses a risk to our people, even the people who are supposed to be accessing services. So what the department is also planning to do is to publish all registered treatment centers as we register them, because though we do have a resource directory, but sometimes you find that in an existing resource directory, treatment centers are closing down and opening as we go on, so that people can know which ones are credible and which ones are not supposed to be used. And we have also delegated powers on the current legislation to provinces, because initially this act also was a national act. So there was a challenge or a gap in terms of monitoring of compliance. So now we are also asking provinces, or working with provinces, to assist us in monitoring those registered treatment centers so that they comply with the norms and standards. But it is still a challenge. In terms of the regulations, we are planning to finalize them this year. We do have a draft, which still need to be consulted widely with key stakeholders. Next financial week starts in April. We will be finalizing those, and we are hoping the legislation will be promulgated for implementation. The Kimoja Awareness Program, yes, Sangha is involved. Master trainers were trained to facilitate the program. We really appeal on NGOs and to ensure that they strengthen this program to where there are weaknesses, so that we can move forward, because currently that's the only national branded campaign we have. If there are weaknesses, we need to strengthen it and make it work for the sake of our children. In terms of 2010, how Sangha can be involved, the way this 2010 is planned, most especially within the security environment is very restrictive. As a result, even the department, not in all host cities where a social development person will sit in the venue operating center, which is the stadia itself. So I'm just thinking if SANCA really needs to be involved at that level, it will be a challenge because they are saying there's not enough space for all departments to be having a space at the VOC, which is the venue operating center, only in the Free State where we have managed to secure a space. But I think SANCA will play a major role during in the public viewing areas and also in the fan parks. There are 10 approved fan parks by FIFA. So that's where we said provinces should draw in key NGOs that are specialists in children's issues, in substance abuse issues, so that they can assist social development in playing its role there. We are also partnering with UNICEF also in terms of manning the fan parks because we are anticipating that there might be challenges there. In terms of human trafficking, yes, the department is working with other government departments, but as a department, our key role there is mostly supporting the victims of human trafficking once they are identified as victims. We've already identified 12 shelters countrywide, which are being strengthened by the International Organization on Migration to be able to strengthen security because the current security system is not suitable because these people, once they are trafficked, they are working with highly sophisticated, I don't want to say criminals, but for the lack of a better word, organized crime people. So we need to strengthen security there. So the International Organization on Migration is doing training currently as I speak, and they've already made funding available to strengthen those 12 in terms of security come 2010 and beyond. So I see SANCA as a very important stakeholder in all this, because in provinces, we said they must give us lists of all organizations that they have identified that they will be working with during the 2010 FIFA World Cup in the fan parks and also in the public viewing areas. Sometimes SANCA can also play a role at the community level where they will serve as a referral source. Even if there's a case at a stadium where they need to be referred to, there are structures in place at the Prof Jog and NAC Jog, they will refer. Then as long as we know that SANCA is our partner, then we'll be able to refer. So I see them as a very key stakeholder. The issue of the long-term treatment center, I think we have been discussing this with SANCA. They proposed it, I think it's almost 3 years now. But I think the challenge is resources. We did make a bid to Treasury since 2006 and 2007, if Ms. Dutoit can remind me. But we have not received any additional funding because we wanted to have one and see how it works before we even replicate to other provinces because we said, we don't have a long-term treatment facility for young people where we can equip it with skills development, activities, all that the Honorable Chair was saying. And we are not giving up. We're still saying we will use the new act also to lobby still again to Treasury to say, can they fund us to establish a treatment center that is more long-term and accommodating that target group because it is a gap currently for our young people. The issue of liquor outlets, it is still a challenge. I think this needs to be discussed also at the CDA level because it's more of a policy gap also, the way they are currently registered and monitored by Department of Trade and Industry. So it's something that needs to be raised. Even the age, drinking age, we might want to even raise it up to 21. Currently it's 18. But if you look at the adverts, the way they are run, they put a small line there, not for under 18, but the big words are really drawing our young people to the attention of whatever is being advertised. So it's something that will have to be on the agenda of CDA to be able to advise government properly. Key area of coordination. As SANCA has indicated, we do work together, but I think there are also structures in place. For me, CDA has been created to be a coordinating mechanism. There might be gaps there and there, but really CDA is a structure that has been established to ensure that all government efforts and all other civil society organization efforts are brought together to be able to achieve a common goal. We do have provincial forums and also local drug action committees. They might function at different levels. We accept that, but those structures are being put in place to ensure that there's effective coordination in implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. All these departments are expected to come up with mini plans. What is missing, what we have identified as a department, is an integrated plan at that level to say, after receiving all the mini plans, and then what do you do? Do you monitor individual departments, or you come up with an integrated plan nationally and make sure that your monitoring mechanisms are monitoring the integrated plan? And what we have done as a department, we have also created an interdepartmental committee, because we realize we also need to talk as government to see how we really strengthen our efforts in terms of, and we will be reporting to the CDA, because we need to strengthen ourselves before we go, as a collective, before we go to CDA to say, as government, this is what we're doing in terms of both prevention and treatment. Diversion, yes. Last week we presented to the honorable members the implementation of the Child Justice Act. For me, SANCA is going to play a key role in terms of those children that are found to be in conflict with the law and have been abusing substances. So they are currently part. They are providing such services. I think the services will be formalized when we do accreditation, because they will have to meet certain standards, of which they do meet even the norms and standards that we have created now for diversion. So we will formalize them when we do with others like your NICRO, your COLISA, and others. They are currently playing a key role. Harm reduction policy, also it's a policy that South Africa has not taken a position in terms of what type of harm reduction activities do we want to engage in. We attended various conferences, we hosted conferences, but I think Central Drug Authority need to present a position paper proposal to the minister, of which she can also present to cabinet for approval, so that we take a position, because we have discovered that there's a different understanding of what harm reduction is all about. Other people, when you talk harm reduction, they quickly think about needle exchange program. But I think harm reduction may be beyond that. So we are really going to work and fast track this in terms of position paper that will go to cabinet for ensuring that a position paper is taken in government. The issue of volunteers. I think it's not only substance abuse sector that is experiencing a challenge. Various fields are using volunteers. And I think there's a problem in terms of standardization of even the remuneration, whether they are going to be remunerated or not. Where they are remunerated, we're even remunerating them differently. So the department is also finalizing a volunteer policy where it's going to standardize how we manage and employ volunteers, which standards are these, because some volunteers are very good, but some can be really risky to the people they are servicing. So that policy is really trying to manage that process and also address the issue of stipend, whether if there's a stipend, how is it going to be managed and funded. I think Dr. Mabito will deal with the issue of recruitment of social workers and the challenges on funding briefly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the issues of the recruitment and retention of the social workers and the social service professionals, we discussed them last week, and we know that they are very difficult when it comes to, it's easier in government because they are regulated. We work together with the Department of Public Service and Administration and also Treasury. But when it comes to NGOs, it is through the allocations from government to NGOs, the transfers to NGOs, through them that they can be able to raise the salaries of social workers or social service professionals in general. So the department at the moment is focusing on those, on the transfers, how we can ensure that the transfers are adequate enough for the NGO sector to improve the salaries of the staff. But the first thing that we've detected is that there's disparity amongst NGOs, amongst the provinces. So we're trying to deal with that to ensure that when we fund a service, we're moving towards program funding, that when we fund a service, for example, a treatment center, it will be across the board, the same amount of service for the staff, for all the equipment that is needed there. So we're revising the costing model. We hope that before the next deliberations with the Treasury on funding, on increase of the budget for the department, we'll be having this costing models will be finalized, and we'll be able to request Treasury to allocate funding that is in accordance to the new costing models. That will standardize funding, and we hope that it will also increase the funding that we need, the budget that we need for allocations to the NGOs. This is across the board at national and provincial level. But I just want to say that as with the funds that we have, both nationally and provincially, there is some substantial amounts of money already that are allocated to SANCA. I just want to give examples with two provinces. The total amount, for example, allocated to SANCA by Eastern Cape is 3.2 million. And the total amount that province spends on substance abuse is 9.9 million. And Mpumalanga, they allocate 5.7 million to SANCA. You can see that the differences from one province to the other. And 6 million is for the substance abuse. So we need to do away with those disparities and create some uniformity. With regard to, we're also funding in accordance to the financial awards policy. The provinces are implementing that financial award. The only problem is the amount, and we need to deal with the disparities. I'm not sure I've covered everything there, but there was an issue also around the scholarship program. The scholarship program, all the students that are studying have a contract with government because it's a government funded, and as a result, the main stakeholder there is government. The expectation, of course, is that once the students they're on their fourth year, they'll go in and get practice experience. Across the sector, both in government and the NGO sector, and that eventually they'll be placed across the board. But they've got a contract with government to work for 2 years for government before they can go and work in other sectors. There are also problems of funding, that a newly qualified social worker will go and work if they are seconded to an NGO. Their salaries, if that NGO has not increased the salaries of the social workers, their salaries will be higher than the salaries of the social workers in the NGO. But there are already NGOs that are taking on the social workers, and many young people, they don't mind in paying lower salaries than those that of social workers working in government. But of course, we know the intention is for them to get better salaries. Yeah. But this is something that the minister in the department is really worried about, and we have intensified our work towards ensuring that we standardize the funding to NGOs across the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rafa Betwa. Honourable members, we've run into serious time difficulties. Can I beg your indulgence that we've noted all the issues that have been raised, the issue of the disparities in funding, the issue of an integrated approach to the challenges that we're lacking. We also noted the fact that regulations are still being drafted for the Act on Substance Abuse that has been passed in 2008, and we are now in 2010. I think the department will have to tell us at a later stage whether the regulations will be ready for the 2011 financial year, costed obviously. I'm sure the Act has been costed So the regulations, you can't run away from the fact that regulations also have financial implications. But an act can function without regulations in the meantime. I think that that is very important. I think what, this is not the first time the issue of the mushrooming of facilities has come up. I think the Department of Social Development should note that the committee and the public would like to see some action in terms of the implementation of the Act around the mushrooming of facilities. The department coming out strongly against facilities operating. I think we would like to see some example being made of them. That's very important. And I'm sure you can enforce the Act without the regulations at this stage. But then I think the implementation, the finalization of the regulation should be sped up. The issue of the Central Drug Authority, I think it's very important to have a position paper on harm reduction. I think that's very important. There's a lot of developments in terms of harm reduction internationally. I would like to see where this position paper, where South Africa stands with harm reduction, in terms of harm reduction. I would also like to see the Central Drug Authority playing a bigger role. I don't see them playing a very visible role in terms of substance abuse, being very vocal about it. We had one, when we had South African Breweries, the Liquor Distributors Association, saying they've been trying to get hold of the Central Drug Authority chairperson to have a meeting, but there's been no response from the CDA. So I think there needs to be some improvement with the CDA's communication. The issue of disparity in services funding, I think we strive, we said that there should be uniformity. When we discussed the annual report of the 2009, 8 and 9 financial years, the committee, there should be disparity in funding. I think if there's still disparities in funding, that is a problem in provinces. It also tells us that provinces are not really prioritizing substance abuse, if there's also disparities in budgeting issues. I don't say that everyone should budget 9 million in all 9 provinces, but there should be some priority given to substance abuse and alcohol abuse in provinces. It's very important. If you look at that 9 million rand for a province, or the 6 million rand for a province like the Eastern Cape, totally, with your Dacha plantations, all those challenges, the availability of the variants of Dacha. If you look at that in the Eastern Cape, it's a huge challenge. I think if you look at the issue of the manuals at Sanka, if you could send us one package of that to the committee, we can then distribute it to the members. And if there's any other correspondence or pamphlets that you'd like the committee to send to us, it's good. Members of Parliament have parliamentary offices, so they also operate as centres in communities for awareness and advocacy. So that could also be one of the centres that you could use as anchor. And posters and so on. So members have that link with communities. In terms of outreach, I've attended a conference on best practice conference, international conference, and that is where I met Shamim and invited her to the committee. If we could get that report, or even if you could refer us to the website, I think that would be of great interest to the committee. Looking at the best practices when it comes to substance abuse interventions and so on. Because there you had people from all over the world coming together to talk about the scourge of substance abuse and alcohol dependence. But also you had, I think you had corporate there and so on. So that would be, I'm sure, of great interest to the committee. But let me, I think we take note of the responses and some of the questions also the responses raised. I think I've already touched on the harm reduction issue. But we would then be engaging further with yourself, the Department of Social Development, the CDA, but we will also be inviting Sanka when we discuss these issues again. But thank you very much for giving us a glimpse into what you are doing as an NGO, the challenges that you are doing, that you are facing, but also, despite the challenges, the vision that you explained to us today. I think it gives us a clearer understanding of the challenges that we are facing there as a community. So thank you very much for coming. And good luck with the good work that you're doing. I think sometimes we don't tell people that they're doing a good job. I think you are doing a good job. I'm sure the members will agree with me. And also the volunteers that are volunteering in Sanka, but also in the rest of the NGO sector. Volunteers don't get paid. There's some people that have perceptions that volunteers are supposed to be paid. They're not supposed to be paid. They do things for free. And it's highly commendable when you have professionals that are volunteering or that are getting, they are not getting a market-related salary in the NGO sector. And that is one of the huge challenges in terms of the retention of professionals in the NGO sector. So we take note even of those issues. So thank you very much for coming. And also to the Department of Social Development, also, thank you very much for coming. Honourable members, can we just have a 5-minute body break before we resume the meeting? Thanks.
Remember, I reported the Ukusela Secure Care Centre that was in disrepair. By last week, Wednesday, the contractors were there for a month, and the provincial department was at the centre, just going around checking everything. So they started on the center now. Thank you. Fukushima, yes, operation. Thank you
very much for that rapid response. And if members, if you check up on things, please let us also see that we can. I think that approach works. You bring it to the committee and it gets attention. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, could I just add that the SANCA website is up there?
Mm-hmm.
We do have all the papers from the task conference on our website as well as the way forward, so you'll find it there. Thank you.